What's up? Hey, hey. Did you guys, y'all realize that we hired James Earl Jones to do the voiceover for that video? That was good. Listen, I told the volunteer team, I was like, look, I was a last ditch effort. I was a last resort. We tried to get somebody else to do it. You guys got stuck with me, so I had to turn on the radio voice. Anyway, I thought it was funny. So this is the long-awaited, much-anticipated debut of the series, Love Handles. Man, I've been talking about this series for at least a year, really just because I thought it'd be hilarious to do a series called Love Handles. But we also try to do a relationship series typically in February because everybody's thinking about they got love on the brain, right? There's a corporate holiday coming up called Valentine's Day. And if you don't think it's corporate, go to Walmart. You'll see what I'm talking about. And so we just like to talk about it because here's the deal. The world offers a lot of advice on how to do relationships. And you turn on your television and they tell you a lot of things that you should do as far as relationships and what love looks like and you know, what your fantasy should be. And you watch movies and they're just so unrealistic. But even though we know it's unrealistic, we think that our lives should look like that. And so we just want, as a church, as people who are trying to honor God with our lives, all of our lives, including our relationships, we got to get some advice sometimes too, and we need to understand what it looks like for us to live and move and have our being in Jesus with respect to our relationships. The goal of this series is just kind of like the title says, it's to get a handle on love, which is, everybody go ahead and do it. Let's just go ahead and grab your love handle. If you don't have any, just leave. Skinny people not welcome. I'm kidding. We love everybody. Even Daniel, it's so funny. Daniel and I have been friends for a really long time. And Daniel's always been, like, skinny. Like, he's had points in his life where he tried to get fat and he just couldn't. And so finally his metabolism slowed down a little bit and we were having this conversation the other day. He's like, I got a little gut. And he was so proud. It was, everybody else is like, man, I got a gut. And Daniel's like, look! I mean, not quite that flamboyant, but you get the idea. So it may seem strange, like I said, to devote an entire series to relationships, but I just think that it's good to have a voice of reason in this area because, like I said, you get so many different messages and so many different untruths from the world and the, you know, the things that we watch and magazines. Oh my God. Have you ever, look, I try not to look at the end caps where magazines are. Have you ever done that? None of you guys have ever done that because you're awesome, right? You're looking at the candy, I'm sure. Now, it amazes me that every single month they produce another magazine that tells you how to make sex better. Like, I mean, we should be at the pinnacle. Like, we're done. We have accomplished all that can possibly be accomplished because it's like 50 ways to make your relationship better sexually. And I'm like, it's just better and better and better. And oh my God, we're done, right? It's just crazy. It blows me away. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. And so it's interesting because here's the deal. If we just look at the facts, we look at the raw numbers, we look at the truths, that Christians don't fare much better than non-Christians in the relationship department. Like, and we don't like that. Like, because, you know, God is love, and if we're in a relationship with God, then we have love, and then all of everything that we do should be frolicky and awesome, right? I mean, that would be a natural kind of assumption and logical order there, right? But it's just not true. Like, Christians don't typically fare much better than non-Christians. If you look at the divorce rate of people that attend church regularly and people that don't attend church regularly, there's not much discrepancy there. And now, let me just clarify, this is not a, you know, beat down on people for what they've done in their life. We could honestly care less where you've been and what you've done and any failures that you may have come in with this morning. What we care about is what you do when you leave and what your life looks like from this point forward. So don't ever think just because we say something like that we're coming at you, bruh. We're not, okay? Everybody on the same page? It's just, this is what I it's funny to me. So many people just kind of have bought into this idea or assumption that a relationship is really just kind of a toleration, right? Have you seen people that are married, and they're still married, but they probably shouldn't be? Like, it's a miracle, right? Like, they just hate each other, absolutely hate each other. And I'm like, what's the point? Just put a bullet in him. I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. But if you think about the way that Jesus talked about this, Jesus is like, hey, look, if you're angry at your brother in your heart, you might as well kill him. Right? What do you do with that? And so it's not just to tolerate each other. We got to get to the point, remember we say this sometimes, we don't want to just tolerate people, we want to celebrate people. The relationship shouldn't just survive, it should thrive. man, you guys are filling in my blanks this morning and everything. It's going to be a good day, right? I'm blown away and ecstatic and inspired when I see a couple that's been married for like 40 years and they actually like each other. I'm like, that's it. That's what our world is supposed to look like. That's what relationships are supposed to be. It's not just getting through. It's really surviving or thriving, and you understand what I'm saying. It's just impressive when people do it right. So what we're going to look at today is kind of a foundation for everything else that we'll talk about for the next few weeks, and it's what I call the love triangle. Right? Sounds weird. Just let me explain. It's a formula for healthy relationships. And what's cool is that here's the deal. If you're one of those, we're not going to make you raise your hand or anything, but if you're one of those that's, you're not in a relationship right now because you ain't really got time for that, which means you can't find nobody. If we're being honest, right? Everybody's always looking. I ain't ever met a man that ain't looking on the prowl. Always got his eyes out. I'm like, she's single? How long they been dating, right? Anyway, but this is a formula for healthy relationships, man. And it, what's cool is like this doesn't just specifically pertain to dating or marriage, it also friendships. And it's all about a balance in the relationship. And it's what we call the triangle, the love triangle. And the point is, do we have that? Oh, look at that. Look, God is at the top and the center of the relationship. You're on the left, they're on the right, somewhere at the bottom of the relationship. Kind of, and the idea is priorities. Like, if you are your priority in the relationship is not going to work. If they are your highest priority in the relationship is not going to work. If God is the highest priority in the relationship, you got a fighting chance, right? That's good. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at each one of those and kind of the perils of looking at the wrong things too much. The first one is this. When you focus too much on yourself. That seems kind of obvious, right? Like, if you ever, you've probably seen, none of us have ever been in a relationship like this because we're awesome. But you've seen people who've been in a relationship and it's like, why don't you just date yourself, bro? Or girl, or whatever girls call each other. I can't stop saying bro. But when you focus too much on yourself and selfishness is part of the relationship, and it's never a positive contributor to a relationship. Like, relationships are obviously, you're bringing something to the table. You're providing something for them, and it's not just about you. When you voluntarily enter into a relationship, you're kind of making an agreement with that person. Like, and what's so funny, like, Shelly and I, when we started, I didn't know there were, like, variations of, like, talking and dating and all that stuff. I kind of blurred the lines on purpose. And so Shelly kind of, she cracked the whip. So we were talking, which I didn't know that meant that we had to be exclusively talking. This is pre-Jesus, people. And so Shelly kind of nailed me down. She's like, hold up, homie. If you're going to be talking to me, you only going to be talking to me. And so then we shifted from talking to dating because it's an agreement, right? It's like a contract and your life is over. I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. It's funny. We were watching, have you guys seen Tim Hawkins? He's a Christian comedian. Hilarious. But it's funny because the way that guys perceive things and the way that girls perceive things are two totally different things. So a girl, when she's getting married, it's like the beginning of a fairy tale, right? They're like, oh, my God, my life is complete. You know, my dreams are beginning, and it all starts right now. And you talk to a guy, and it's kind of the end. He's like, yeah, you know, I live my life, and it's time to settle down. And you absolutely know that's the truth, right? It's just funny how different we are. But here's the deal. Oh, all of that to say, when you get into a relationship, when you say, hey, look, I'm going to date you, you're going to date me, or we're going to get married, what you're doing is you're making an agreement, especially in marriage. It's not just an agreement. It's a contract. It's a covenant. It's like, this is my life, and I you know, sign my life away. And so you say to the other person that I'm bringing something to the table. I realize that this thing isn't just about me. Like, if you wanted to live your life just for you, don't ever date. Be a eunuch. Read the Old Testament and figure out what a eunuch is. Seriously, do that. It's funny. And so look at the, here's an example. Have you guys been to a wedding lately? The time is coming, right? March, April, May, June, wedding season. June is 30,000 people get married every June. 30,000 couples get married every June in the United States. So just, it's coming, right? So when you go to a wedding, you typically hear the vows. Listen, these are very classic vows. And listen to what it says. I take you to be my husband or my wife, whichever the case may be, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, ladies, for poorer, right? What? I mean, there are dudes that are looking for a sugar mama, but I know I've heard a lot of females talking about silver foxes and everything else. For richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. Like, just the language, right? Like, that's what we're committing to. We're committing, hey, it doesn't matter how bad things get, I'm still going to do my part, for better or for worse, if we've got money or if we don't have money. Man, when Shelly and I first got married, we were so poor. Man, it's just funny. It's funny. We look back now, we're like, oh my God, how did we make it? Like, the things that we went through and put up with, like, there's no way we would put up with them now. But love was our source, I guess, right? And so for richer or for poor, man, it's a commitment. It's a commitment. Oh my God, it's a commitment. Do I need to say it again? Like, people enter into a relationship very contingent. It's not contingent when you enter into a relationship, especially like a marriage, especially dating, contingent. If he's an idiot, drop him, right? But if you enter into a marriage, there's no contingency plans. It's like, this is it. It's a commitment, right? Focusing primarily on yourself, what it does is it robs the other person of kind of the emotional joys and benefits of being in a relationship. Like, there's something, God created us for relationships. Like, you just couldn't convince me otherwise. There's no reason that our brains would work the way they do when we're in relationships if God wasn't at work in them. Like, have you guys heard us talk about this, how physical touch, like giving somebody a hug or shaking hands, it releases a chemical in your brain called oxytocin. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy and endorphins and all of that other stuff. And I'm just like, that's amazing to me, because I believe that God created us, and he created us very intentionally and with a lot of purpose. And if when I touch somebody or get a hug from somebody, it does something into my brain that makes me happy, God must be at work. And he's about relationships. And there's value and benefits of being in relationships. And when you focus on yourself, you're robbing the other person of the value that relationships can bring. Right? Although, caveat, it's only supposed to be supplemental. Like, you're not supposed to be their entire world. Like, I hate it when I hear girls say, oh, he's my world. Like, your world's about to get rocked, chica. And it's just sad that this is kind of an issue in the world that we live in. Like, people focus very much on themselves. And you hear and talk to a lot of people who've kind of felt like their emotional needs weren't being met by their partner, by the person that they were in a relationship with. And I've seen this, I don't know, I'm trying not to exaggerate the number. I've seen it several times where it typically is a wife in a relationship who feels like her emotional needs aren't being met by her husband. So she finds an emotional satisfaction in somebody else. And what that typically, this is the way this goes down, right? This is the anatomy of an affair. Are you ready? Homie isn't paying attention to homegirl at home. Homegirl goes to work and finds somebody that does pay attention to her. Not physical, not sexual, nothing like that. They start talking. Oh my, he listens to me. How cool is that? They talk more. They start to text. As a result of the texting, they end up spending more time together. Then it turns physical and the affair is full blown. I've seen, just watch. Just live your life, pay attention to people, and that's how it works. And it's all as a result of the emotional needs of that person not being met, probably because of selfishness on behalf of one of the people that are involved, right? As followers of Jesus, we just recognize the fact that we belong to him. And what's kind of cool and kind of scary at the same time is, like, when you enter into a relationship, you're also committing that you belong to that person, which is, and here's the deal. Like, if you're dating and you've been dating for 2 weeks, you don't belong to him, right? Or you don't belong to her. Like, we're talking at the marriage stage, that's when you sign the contract and ownership is no longer yours, right? If you guys have ever bought a car or a house, like, you don't own the car. The bank owns the car. That's why they made drive-thrus, so the car could see its owner. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, it says this. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. And that would be a great place to stop. But it also says, in the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. You get it? Like, we belong to each other. Like, when you're in a relationship, it's not just about you, your body, your life, your prerogatives, your things. They don't just belong to you anymore. They belong to the other person. And most importantly, we belong to God collectively. You get the idea? So that's the first issue. When you focus too much on yourself, there are a lot of problems that come with that. There are a lot of dangers with that and perils. The second one is less obvious. That one seems pretty obvious. The second one seems less obvious because it seems very romantic. It seems very fairy tale. It seems very Hollywood. When you focus on the other person way more than you would ever focus on yourself, what could possibly go wrong? A lot, actually, right? A lot can go wrong when you focus too much on the other person. There are two inherent problems with this approach to relationships. The first one is that they kind of become a god in your life, which is above their pay grade. I don't know a human that qualifies to become a god in somebody's life. Like, this is what we do when we put too much focus on them and too much kind of, you know, the responsibility and onus on them to be something in our lives that they were never intended to be. Right? They were never created or intended. There's no human being on the earth that was ever intended or created to give you purpose or to give you hope or to give you satisfaction with the totality of your life. Jesus is the only one that can do that. And so don't ever put a person in a place of God because they're gonna fail. Like, they will absolutely fail. If Shelly did that for me, she's in for a long day, right? Like, that's a bad place to be. If I ever did that with Shelly, then I'm in a bad place. Like, it's just, that's not the role or function that we were created with. We're kind of supplemental to life. God is primary. He's the number one, you know, the number one objective, the goal, and in any other word that you can think of to say that it's paramount, pinnacle. I'm trying to think of more, but I'm struggling. The greatest drawback to this approach is that's not what they were intended to do. They were never created to fulfill us in that way, and it's just unfair to put that kind of pressure on people, right? I mean, just think about it. This is what we're saying when we put all of the focus in our relationship on them as opposed to focusing on God and them in that order, right? What you're saying is that all of my happiness and contentment in life is predicated on how you feel about me. I'm going to say that one more time because you guys didn't really get it. I can tell by the... When you do that to somebody, when you put all the focus on them, what you're saying is that, hey, my satisfaction in life is all dependent on how you feel about me. And if that's just a bad place to be, you understand the volatility in that? Like, people's emotions are... And so if your feeling of worth is connected to their emotional feelings about you, you're volatile because they're volatile. And it's just not, that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not a good place to be. But we see it happen. Like, people do this. And what's really scary is it's no less than a form of idolatry. I mean, if you just want to break it down to its simplest, you know, kind of understandings, like, that's what it is. When you esteem anything higher than you esteem God, it's an idol. And if you put a person in that place, if you put a person as the center of your universe, the center of your world, right? Like, these expressions that we use in love just to be poetic, but it's dangerous. Because it's not who they were created to be. That's not what their function is in your life. And I don't know if you read much of the Old Testament or what Jesus said, but idols are frowned upon in this establishment. You know, I think it's the E-Trade commercial with the little baby. It gets me every time. So that's the first problem is you know, they become a god in your life. Psalm 146, verse 3 says this: "Do not put your trust in princes or in human beings who cannot save." Right? And this is specifically talking about salvation and war and all these crazy things. But I think the principle is very clear. It transcends that, hey, man, don't put your trust in people. Like, your trust should only be in God. And people are only intended to be supplemental. Do we get that? Like, secondary. They're supposed to add to our lives, not be the focus of our lives. It's fair. I mean, it's simple and it's straightforward. And we should absolutely love our significant others. We should honor them. We should respect them. But we just can't put them in a position that they were never intended to hold. Like I said, it's above their pay grade, right? Good. The second part of that is this, of focusing too much on them, is that, and this one's interesting because you could kind of get mixed up with this. You lose you. And everybody's like, I mean, this is where it gets kind of tricky, I guess. When you enter into a marriage, specifically, we use the language like, and the two become one. And that's absolutely true. but you're still you, right? You still have all of these things. It's not like when you get married, you eliminate the life that God has created you with and the passions that God has created you with and the purpose that God has created you with. Just so, I mean, you're not exchanging God for them, right? Like, God has still created you to be you, and you're just joining your life, your unique life, with somebody else, but you're still you, and you've still got things that God has called you to do and created you to do. I'm not a proponent of rugged individualism or selfishness or anything like that, but you also have to remember that you are very specific and unique, and God has created you for a purpose, and you don't change that in or trade that in just so you can get into a relationship. Does that make sense? Seems a little tricky, but I think you guys understand. Water break? There's no good way to do that. If you have to take a drink, it's just awkward silence. You guys hear me gulp. Life is good. But there has to be a balance with this. You still have to take time for yourself and care for yourself. And that may seem somewhat selfish, but it's not. If there's balance and there's kind of, you're not out of control, you're not all about you or all about them, if you can find the balance in this, it's a really, really healthy thing. You guys have probably heard this expression, to love others, you also have to love yourself. And man, I absolutely believe that. Like if I'm feeling, let's just kind of be honest, right? If you're having one of those days where you just don't feel good about yourself, you're like, man, I'm kind of, you know, whatever, kind of average, kind of suck, kind of fat, kind of dumb, whatever. I guess you don't have those days because you guys are awesome. Thanks. Makes my insecurities feel even worse. Appreciate it. But when you're having those days where you just don't feel fantastic about yourself, you don't feel like your life is amounting to everything that maybe you hoped that it would, when you're having those days, it's really hard to love other people. When you're kind of down, you're kind of blue, you're kind of bummed, it's a lot more difficult to get up the energy to be kind and encouraging to other people. But if you can love yourself and you take time for yourself and you encourage yourself, it's easier to do that for other people. So you guys get where I'm going with this. Jesus was a really good example of this. Like Jesus in his life and his ministry, he always loved other people, served other people, spent time with other people, cared for them, but he also took time for himself. It's so cool because you see these, like just these little one-liners where it's talking about how Jesus got away to spend time alone and to develop his relationship with God and his well-being, which are directly connected. Like Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Like he spent time alone with himself to focus on himself. And so when we do this, like when we kind of understand the perfect balance in this, you don't lose you. You don't have to lose you. That's not the point. Like you remain you, but you are also, I guess, realizing the fact that you're joining yourself with somebody else. It's just sad when you see somebody in this state of being. Like they're devoid of hope, they're devoid of purpose, they've connected their identity and kind of attached it onto somebody else, which is just, it's so sad. And they just kind of wander through life meaninglessly based on whatever the other person wants them to do. Our uniqueness, this is so good. If you got a pen, write this down. Or if you got a tattoo gun, this would be a good time to go to town on your arm. It's just that good. Our uniqueness is the strength of our bond. Like what makes you unique is what makes us strong. What makes you unique, the specific gifts that you have and the specific skills that you have and the talents that you have and the personality that you have is what makes us strong. So in a relationship, a really good example, like Shelly and I are so different in so many ways. But because we're so different in so many ways, we're more equipped to address more situations and, you know, especially with kids. Like when you have kids, there's a plethora of things that you may have to deal with. Some things I'm better suited to handle. Some things Shelly's better suited to handle. Like some things I'll just blow my mind and other things Shelly loses her cool, so it's better if I handle it, right? And so that's it, man. It's our uniqueness is the strength of our bond, and you can't lose you in a relationship. So that's the second one. When you focus too much on the other person, it just gets out of whack. Now we're going to look at kind of the goal here. When you focus on God, that's the perfect formula for a successful God-honoring relationship. It comes back to this idea that you find it all throughout the Bible, but the language is found specifically in the New Testament. And it's in John chapter 3, verse 30. It says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Right? He must increase, but I must decrease. And I don't think it's, too much of a jump to say that it's safe for us to change that to we, especially, kind of with the idea of relationships. We must decrease, but he must increase. Make sense? Good. Thank you. Thank you, Shelley. She's always there for me. So it's a relationship series just for us. I'm kidding. And I think, man, if we do that, like if that's kind of the mantra of our relationships, that, look, I understand how much I care about you and how much you care about me, but that's not going to change the fact that God needs to be at the center of our relationship and the highest priority of our relationship. At all times, if we have the approach that he must increase and we must decrease, I just don't think it can fail. Unless it's just not meant to be, right? You see some people that are dating, you're like, why? I'm not going to go there because, I can have some fun this morning, but I'm not going to do that. But if it's meant to be, right, if you two people who are truly, I think God has kind of orchestrated it for you to be together, then it's going to work, like especially with that particular formula. I don't think it's too far of a jump to do the we over I. We see so many relationships that are dramatic and tumultuous. Have you ever seen people that just fight all of the time and there's just always drama in a relationship? Now, if you're watching the Kardashians or something, that's expected. Like, that's what they get paid to do, which I couldn't understand. I can't even fathom why somebody would watch that. But that's just me, right? Because some people don't understand why I watch ESPN. That's real life, people. It's real life. The greatest soap opera in life is sports, anyway. It's the real deal, though. Okay, I don't know where I get off on that. We see so many relationships that are just crazy. And I'm like, man, if you've got this formula right, it's not going to be like that. Look, here's the deal. Let me be upfront. No relationship is perfect. No relationship is without faults. No relationship is without a struggle, without conflict. That's why you need conflict resolution. Like, every relationship takes work to make it work. But if the whole thing is just a nut job, if it's just crazy, it's just, you know, I mean, if you could be followed around with a camera and make your own reality TV show, it just ain't right. Like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. There's another version that says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And if your relationship is just crazy, probably you've got the formula all out of sorts. If you get the formula right, everything else, I just love the way that God does this. You go back to Matthew chapter 5, where it says that if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, everything else that you need will be added unto you. God's like, I know what you need to be successful in life. I know what you need to get through life. But if you focus on me first, I'll take care of the rest of that. And it transcends into our relationships. If you focus first on me, if I'm the primary focus of your life, I'll take care of everything else. And it's so simple to see how this works when we just kind of take a step back and we look at it. Like, I think if we're all honest and we're all just being kind of having one of those moments where we're like, that makes sense. Logic abounds, right? If you look at your life and you're like, okay, I'm going to spend more time on my relationship with God, one of the benefits of that would be grace. Because once you understand grace, what do you want to do? You want to give grace. If we're focusing on our relationship with God, we understand forgiveness. And when you understand forgiveness, you want to give forgiveness. And that's a good thing. Because every relationship needs some forgiveness. There was a time in my life when I was a little more redneck and a little more uninitiated, educated, or something like that. So we used to have these big bonfires I'm telling you guys a personal story. Lean in. It's good. We used to have these big bonfires at our house. We lived out in the country, and you could do that. If we tried that now, burn a neighborhood down, right? And so we'd had these big bonfires, and so this one, I don't know if it was New Year's or the 4th of July. That was when we always did it. We decided we're going to cut down a tree as well. But it was like a freaking redwood in our front yard. It was a massive oak tree. And so our house is over here and the trees over here. We're like, no problem, we'll cut it on this side, right? Not a situation. At least we thought. So then we started cutting it, and it's like the weight of the tree kind of makes it start leaning towards the house. And we're like, all right, we got this. We had a one-ton truck. Dooley, Daniel was with me. Me and Daniel were talking about this morning. I was like, were you there? He was like, I was in the truck. So we climbed up the tree and tied ratchet straps to it and hooked it up to the truck, and Daniel's pulling the tree and we're trying to get it. Needless to say, it landed perfectly right by the edge of the house. I mean, matter of fact, part of it hit the house, but it didn't do any damage. It did destroy a boat, and people were running. It was so funny. People were scattering like ants when you're You guys ever peed on Aunt Hill? All the guys are like, yeah. So, you know, they just spread. That's how people, it looked like they were just running, man. And so that night was not a good night in the Reed house, right? Shelly was not happy. She was bent out of shape. And so she sent everybody home. I mean, we had like 30 people there. She's like, y'all got to go. And so we had to come to Jesus talk, and she's telling me, you know, how crazy I was or whatever. But the point is, we made it through that because she focuses on our relationship with God. And there's forgiveness and understanding and mercy and grace. Now, if she had not, if she was, you know, somebody that didn't love Jesus and didn't focus on her, I mean, that would have been grounds for, like, get the 12-gauge, you know, run the homie out of the house, right? Maybe not. If we're having a lot of gun references, it's a good thing we're in East Texas. I wouldn't make it anywhere else. If we took this up north, man, they would call some kind of agency on us, right? And that's just it, man. When you focus on God, like, it helps everything else. It helps you to honor the other person more fully. It helps you to respect the other person more fully. It helps you to be gracious and understanding in light of their failures, because they will. Like, that's just, they're human. And you would like the same thing from them when you make mistakes, or you're not, you know, the person that you wanted to be, or you're not living up to the standard that even you set for yourself. Have you guys, I've watched entirely too much television in my life. You guys seen the Progressive commercial where the husband has got the, or the wife's got the puppet, and she's doing the flow thing, and the husband walks in, and she hides it, and she's like, what's that on your hand? He's like, it's my wedding ring. She uses the other hand. My symbol, a symbol of our love and understanding, right? And that's just it, man. Like, we need that in our relationships, and I just believe that that comes from focusing primarily on God. You get the benefits of focusing on God, and you extend that to the people that you're in a relationship with. Mercy, compassion, love, kindness, humility, encouragement, patience, understanding, right? That's what the love triangle is all about. So what do we do moving forward, right? This is kind of, I never want to leave, you know, just, hey, that was a good talk, and it has no effect or no bearing on your life as you go throughout the week. So if you're married, I would say your next step, if you're not part of the married groups, is get involved in the married group. There's nothing more beneficial or helpful than doing life with other married people who've been through some stuff or going through some stuff. Helping and being helped is a fantastic place to be. If you're dating or you've got questions, we don't typically do, like, everybody come up here and we pray for you for an hour and you snot all over the place and you leave and your life isn't changed at all. Like, we've seen that happen a lot, right? I don't know what your church background is, but I've been a part of that. What I want is, I want when you leave this place that your life has changed, and maybe you've got some goals and you want something different as opposed to where it is that you are, you know, where you want to go. And I believe that that's done through talking to people, pray with people. Like, if you need to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. We've got some fantastic leaders and volunteers who would love to talk to you if you have any questions about anything, about relationships. Shelly gives really good relationship advice. I give sucky relationship advice. If you ask me, my stock answer is dumping. Just, I'm telling you the truth. Dump him. It ain't worth it. All right? Unless you're married, work through it. I love you guys. Let me pray for us. And then Kristen's going to come tell you some stuff that you need to know. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us. God, we thank you that you've given us wisdom and insight in every aspect of life, especially these relationships that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. God, I pray that, God, we're not just hearers of your word for these next few weeks, but we're doers of your word. God, that what your word says with respect to relationships and the way that we should approach them, God, that we would incorporate that into our lives. God, that we would be people who seek you first, knowing that everything else will work itself out, that you'll take care of everything else. God, that we're people who don't put our trust in human beings, but we put our trust in you. God, help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers. God, help us to have relationships that are full of love and compassion and understanding and humility and selflessness with you at the very center and the highest priority. Jesus, we love you, and we ask all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen.